But we begin this morning in the United States, where President Biden has welcomed the leaders of Sweden and Finland, wants them to come and see him. And for more on that, I'm joined from New York by TVNZ's correspondent in New York City. It's Anna Burns-Francis. Morning, Anna. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Nathan. How are you this morning? Friday. You made it to Friday.
Yes, made it there as well. You'll get there in 12 hours. It's awesome. Hey, Joe Biden is all for Sweden and Finland joining the NATO bloc. We know that Turkey is standing in the way. So is Joe Biden confident that their membership will proceed?
Well, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, but there might have to be some concessions made because, as you said, Turkey's the brake pedal here. And it is in a position of power to negotiate what it wants, which broadly revolves around some claims that Sweden and Finland are harbouring terrorist groups or extremist groups that then target Turkey. But both those countries have said they feel there's room to work with Turkey. No doubt just how far they're willing to compromise would have been up for discussion today. As you said, Joe Biden hosting the Swedish Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson and the Finnish President Sauli Niinisto at the White House. The President says that Sweden and Finland meet every NATO requirement, and their application, which they put in yesterday, have his full, complete backing. Now, both the Swedish and Finnish leaders have appeared in the Rose Garden today, referring to Turkey's objection, saying they take those concerns seriously and they're willing to sit down around the table to talk it out. Now, the interesting thing is Turkey's foreign minister is due to meet the US Secretary of State on American soil next week. He's coming to New York on Wednesday. No doubt the talk will be revived then.
Obviously, we're all horrified by the shootings in Buffalo. I know that he's appeared in court. As domestic terrorism's under spotlight, what's this new bill which only just passed into law?
Yes, that's right. It's just gone through the House. So I'll step back one moment. Peyton Gendron has just been indicted by that grand jury on first-degree murder charges. He's appeared at a preliminary felony hearing this morning. He's been remanded again without bail. His parents weren't there. But the teenager has pleaded not guilty to that charge of killing 10 people, injuring 3 others. Remember, all but 2 of them were black. More details are emerging of the horror that unfolded inside that store. A 911 dispatch has been placed on leave and appears to be on the verge of being fired after a store worker claimed she rung emergency services only to be hung up on. The woman was at one of the checkout counters and she didn't want to raise the attention of the shooter, so she was trying to whisper down the phone line. And the dispatcher was apparently irritated by this, yelled at her and hung up. So authorities have said it didn't delay any response from emergency services. But goodness me, all of this comes at the time as the House passes that legislation, which now would give more funding to the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security and the Justice Department to investigate and prosecute domestic terrorism. But you see, Democrats control the House, and that's the only reason it passed, because just one Republican voted in favour of this law. And the problem is, it now goes to the Senate, where it will likely sit there in midterms because the Democrats have 2 members who tend to vote with Republicans on any legislation.
Yeah, that's horrible news. Some good news yesterday, though, for the consistent world and Olympic champions, the US women's soccer team, they're going to get a pay rise.
Yes, goodness. And it's about time. Decades of battling for the US women's football team. They'll finally get their money's worth and then some. As you said, very successful team. They've won the last 2 Women's World Cups, 4 in total, far outpacing their male rivals on field, it should be noted, but not when it came to off-field pay negotiations. So in summary, both teams will now be paid the same rate for international games, appearance fees and performance bonuses, because women had been on guaranteed annual salaries while men were on this pay-for-play model. The structure has now changed for both of them, but to be clear, this is equal pay rates, not necessarily a final equal take-home amount. Still, for the women's team, that could mean as much as $450,000 a year. That's nearly 750,000 Kiwi bucks. But that's not the best part. There is back pay, around $22 million, $34 million.
Good. I'm pleased to hear that because, I mean, the amount of girls that play football over there, they're inspired by the Megan Rapinoes and that play. So I think it's great that they get the back pay as well. Now, we've heard it's been a bad sort of few weeks for crypto. I understand the US stock market not having a good time either.
Yeah, you'd hope those footballers with all their new pay aren't going to sink into any of the stock market funds at the moment, because here comes the bear market. The Nasdaq's already dived. The Dow's had its worst day since 2020, and the Standard & Poor's is not far behind. Wall Street's on a bit of a roller coaster at the moment, and in part, it's because it's responding to this really hard line out of the Federal Reserve, which is trying desperately to rein in a rampant post-pandemic economy. Forgive me, I live on 7th Avenue just down from a hospital, which is why you might be able to hear some sirens. The problem is Federal Reserve's only got some really blunt tools to control inflation. One of them is interest rate hikes, and the government has warned it's prepared to weather a recession and widespread job losses to get this inflation under control. And now they're under fire for not responding quickly enough. So until investors and markets see some more stability in the strategy, expect those bumps and inevitable bruises to continue.
So you apologised when you heard the sirens, and I smiled and leant back and went, ah, she's in New York City. It's either sirens or car horns. I tell you that. We went to a wedding there, and it was just car horns the entire way through the reception. It was beautiful, through the ceremony. But hey, good news, COVID-19 boosters. This is interesting in the States. They're now, 5 to 11-year-olds eligible for their boosters?
Yeah, eligible, but not quite recommended. That's the decision for the CDC. They're meeting today. It is assumed that recommendation will be approved, though, and that would make around 28 million children aged 5 to 11 eligible to get a booster. That's all the kids who've already had 2 jabs. It couldn't honestly come at a better time because COVID cases across the US are going up once again. We're headed for another surge. Hospitalizations are on the rise. Deaths aren't yet, but it's worth remembering that's a lagging indicator. The big problem is America hasn't had a big uptake in kids' vaccinations. Only around 30% of eligible children have had a dose regime. Just 6% have had one dose. The rest, you've got to presume, haven't had any. And it's a Pfizer jab because Moderna never got its kids' vaccine over the line. Instead, it's looking to get approval for a toddler's jab, an immunisation dose for kids aged under 5. It's hoping to get that through for summer. The FDA is expected to decide on that within the next month.
She's off now to check out someone pushing a hot dog cart in New York City. That is Anna Burns-Francis. Thank you very much, friend.